Mesechta's Bava Basra, Daf Yutes, two lines from the top of Daf Yutes and Aleph, and in the Mishnah we learn, Layach Ba'odim Bara, Samach L'Kaisel Shechaveri, V'lei Shiach V'lei Ma'or, V'lei Amas Amayim, V'lei Nevrechis Kaifsin, Elim Kain Hechir B'Kaisel Shechaveri, Shleishet Tfachim V'sad Besid. When Rashi in the Mishnah explained Nevrechis HaKaifsin, he stated, Chayfa Chafir Meruvois, Bo'imek Amo Yoysa, Omei Gesham Miskansubar L'Chabes B'Gudeim, that they used to dig a square ditch that was an Amma deep or more in the ground, and rainwater would gather in that ditch, and Mahoylem Shtayim and launderers would have two of these ditches, and they would soak the clothing in one of them for a day or two in Tzayis Klovim, which acted as a detergent. Our Gemara will refer to this pool as Mechamtson, and there was a second pool in which they would then scrub the clothing, and our Gemara will refer to this pool as Nadyon. And our Gemara begins and quotes from the Mishnah of Leinav Rechaz HaKaisin, and Amrav Nachman, Amrav Bavua, so Rav Nachman said in Imrav Bavua, that Loishonu Elimin HaMachmatzon, that the only time that the Mishnah's din, that you have to distance this pool by three tvachim, is only from the Machmatzon. And since the Begodim just sit in this water, and you don't actually scrub the Begodim, therefore the water is stable, and the water doesn't go flying all over the place, and therefore you only have to distance this pool three tvachim from your property line. The laundry has to distance the second pool of water, which was used to scrub the begodim, by a full four amos, as Lemaisa, when he's scrubbing the begodim, the water is flying in all different directions, and therefore, even from further distance, this water, which has been sitting and become disgusting, will harm his neighbor's field. Gemara states, Tanya Mehochi, and similarly, we learned in the Braisa, Nevrechza Kreisin Dalal Amos, that the pool of a launderer, you have to distance by four amos, and the Gemara is, Vanan Tan Gimel Tvachim, Lechur Dis Braisa, Seisa Mishnah, as the Mishnah said, all you have to distance the pool is three tvachim, and therefore the Gemara says, Alav Shmaminok Rav Nachman, and it must be the way to explain that there won't be a steer between our Mishnah and the Braisa, is that we're talking about two different pools, as the Braisa that states you have to distance by four amos is discussing the scrubbing pool, and our Mishnah, which gives a shear of Gimel Tvachim, is talking about the pool where they used to soak the clothing in Tzayis Klovim, and as Rashi stated, Nevrecha Shechshayrim Boyesa Begodim Yoymi Yomayim B'Tzayis Klovim Ad Shemachmitzin Umasrichin. Rashi understands the Loshen Machmatzon, like a lotion of chametz, like a lotion of vinegar, and it becomes acidic like vinegar, and therefore ruin your neighbor's bar. However, Ayin Rabbeinu Geshem, who says, Oysim Mokam Sheshoyim Boi Bigdei Kvisa Im Tzayis Klavim, L'hochi Kar Lei Machpatzon, D'chehechad Manichan Se'isa, Ad Shetis Chametz Lei Nogibo, Kach Manichan Eil Begodim Lei Nogibu, Ad Sheyesheru Yofa. That the lotion Machpatzon comes from the lotion of yeast, and just like when someone places yeast in a dough, you leave it there in order that the dough should be able to rise properly, and you don't touch the dough, and you don't need the dough until it rises. And similarly, the launderer would leave the begodim in this pool of water for a long time, and he wouldn't touch it in order that it should be able to soak properly and to be able to be cleaned properly. And he continues, L'hachi sagi b'richa gimel tvachim d'lai ozli tvei d'lai mintzu min ha-kaisel. The Gemara continues, v'ikad ramu l'mermei, and some asked this as a stira, and instead of actually having the memory of Nachman named Rav Bavua, and then being a raya from the Braisa, the Gemara actually starts off with a stira between our Mishnah and the Braisa. As Tzan, we learned in our Mishnah of Rechaz HaKaifsin Gimel Tvachim, and all you have to be machik is Gimel Tvachim, Vatanya, but we have a steer from the Braisa. As the Braisa states, you have to be machik in the Rechaz HaKaifsin for like four Amis. It's because we had a steer, so Amram Nachman or Rav Bavua, that's where Rav Bavua explained, like Kasha, that there is no steer. It's Kamen HaMachmatzin, as our Mishnah is talking about from the first pool of water where the Begodim only soak, and the dirty water doesn't escape from the launderer's pool, and therefore you only need three Tvachim, and Kamen HaNadyon, and when the Braisa teaches us that you have to move away for Amos, that is talking about the second pool where they used to scrub the clothing, and therefore the water would fly much further and cause damage to further areas. And Rav Chiya Breid Rav Avya, Masna Rav Hedya, Rav Chiya Breid Rav Avya actually had a Braisa explicitly taught us, like the din of Rav Nachman in the name of Rav Bavua, as the Braisa stated, and we see clearly that the Braisa is specifically talking about a Machmatzon and not about a Nadyon. And the Gemara continues and quotes from the Mishnah that the Mishnah stated, "Benigei leyach ba'adam bar v'loy shiach v'loy ma'or v'loy amesamay v'loy nevechas kaisin elim kain hichem kaisus shachavei shleishet tvachim v'sad besid." And we also saw it in the next case of the Mishnah. We say, "Machikin sagefes v'sazevav v'samelach v'sasid v'sasloyim mina kaisus shachavei shleishet tvachim v'sad besid." And let's recall that Tosfos in the Mishnah pointed out that certainly in the sefer we are gerus v'sad besid, and even so, clearly the Gemara will learn that in the cases of of the Sefer, where the reason for the Hezek is through Hevel, then the din is that you could either be machik these items three tefachim from the Kaisel, or you could be sub-besid, but there's no requirement to do both. However, the Gemara will now ask, when the Reisha stated v'sub-besid, does it mean that you also have to be sub-besid, or does the Reisha mean that you also have a choice, and either you could be machik a Kaisel gimel tefachim, or you could be sub-besid, and there's no requirement to do both. And although this is clearly the way Taisus learns our sugya, however, as we will see, Rashi seems to be clear that he is gerus in the Sefer of the Mishnah, where we state machik and segefes v'sazav v'samelch v'sasib v'sasloim min ha'kaisel shechaveh shleisha tefachim, and Rashi is gerus oy sub besid. Let us see our Gemara. Iboilu, we had the following shayla: this sub besid tran oy dilma oy sub besid tran. Gemara's question is that certainly the gears in the ratio is vis sub besid, but the shayla is when the Mishnah stated vis sub besid, does it mean that you have to be machik your bar from your property line by three tefachim, and you also must coat the wall of your bar with sid and with lime? Even though the gears to the Mishnah is vis sub besid, it actually means that you have a choice, and either you can be machik your bar from your property line by three tefachim, or you could coat your bar with sid. The Gemara states pshita the v'sub besidran, that it must be that our Mishnah means that you must do both, and you must be machrik as well as be sub besid. Isal kedaitach to isub besidran, as if you would have a habmina that the Mishnah only means that you have a choice, and you could either be machrik your bar, or you could coat your bar with sid. So then there is no difference between the first case of the Mishnah and the second case of the Mishnah. And in kain levinuv lisninu, and if so, we should actually be ma'ar of all these cases and only have stated one din in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah could have taught us Layakpa Adam Bar Samuch Lobay Shakavira Ivleshiach Vlay Mar Vlay Amasamayim Vlay Nivakas Khaifsin Umachikan Sagafas Vesazavel Samel Vesasid Vesaslayim Kaisus Shakaviri Shleshitvachim Visad Besid. And even though the Achaka that we're dealing with in the first case of the Mishnah is in order to be machik from the Kaisel Bayre Shakaviri, and the second case we're talking about being machik from your neighbor's Kaisel that's on top of the ground, however, Lamaisa, the words could fit into both, and certainly based on the context of the cases, we'd be able to figure out what the Mishnah is talking about. Now that we saw the Gemara's point, so let us see the Taisus on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph that stated v'sod besid nilri the b'sefer nami gasina v'sod besid v'loy gasina oisod besid the igasina b'sefer oisod besid, as if in the sefer we actually gerus oisod besid, and meanwhile the ratio the gears is certainly v'sod besid im kein tifshe the ratio v'sod besid tran, that certainly the ratio requires that you have to be machik your bar and you also have to be sod besid midloik tani oisod b'ratio k'may b'sefer, as the Mishnah and the Reisha did not use the same terminology as the Sefer. The Reisha we stated v'sod besid, and the Sefer would be gerus oisod besid al vade b'sefer nami gasina v'sod, and therefore it must be in the Sefer with gerus v'sod besid, even though in the Sefer we also gerus v'sod besid, but the Gemara never has a habmina that the Gemara means that you need both, and certainly in the case of Gefes and Zevel, etc., there's only a requirement to do one, and either you have to be machik these items from a kaisel, or you have to be v'sod besid. And Taisus explains hayin mishum the in hezek kol kach meruba shelo yoyle sulachudei, as certainly the hezek of Gefes and Zevel, etc., are not as strong as the hevel in the first cases of the Mishnah, and therefore certainly there's no requirement to do both, and even if you're just going to be sub besid, that would suffice. The Gemara continues and says you can't bring a raya from a Mishnah as dil mishum de dami hayazekel hayazekel, as maybe the reason why the Mishnah was not levinu v'lisninu, did not combine the first cases of the Mishnah and the second case of the Mishnah, is because the hezek of the Reisha is not similar to the hezek of the Sefer, as Reisha hezek de matunta, as in the Reisha the hezek is based on moisture, and Sefer hezek de havla, and the Sefer the hezek is based on hevel and based on heat. And of course, let's remember that this Gemara works out very well according to Shitas Taisus on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph that stated that all of the hezekim in the Reisha of the Mishnah are referring to cases where there was water, and in the case of Bar, as well as Sheikh Ma'ara and Amasamayan and Rechs Kaisin, we're referring to ditches and pits that had water in it, and therefore our Gemara makes a statement that all of those hezekim have to do with moisture. However, according to those Rishonim that learned, although the hezek of Amas HaMayim and Nevechas Kaifsin was based on moisture and it was water in the Amas HaMayim and Nevechas Kaifsin, however, the hezek of Bar Sheikh Ma'ara was based on you digging the pit, and as the Gemara stated on Daf Yud Zayin Beis, that Kol Moru Moru the Kamachis Kamarapis Lo La'aroi, and if so, how could our Gemara state Reisha Hezekah de Matunta, that the hezek that we're dealing with in the Reisha is based on moisture, if it's not only based on moisture? The Radva actually states Lav Davka the Parish to the Breisha Hezekah de Chafira Nami Ika Elo the Chodim Nayu Nakat, and the Gemara only chaps on one of the reasons and one of the hezekim, even though the hezek of Matunta is dealing with the second part of the Reisha and only relevant to Amas HaMayim and Avechas HaKaisin. However, the Radva says that the reason why the Gemara speaks about Hezekah de Matunta is Mishun de Maida Samach Levisab Besid, Hain Nevrechas for Amas Amayim, the Ikra did who, Mishamatunta, Ayin Sham. The Gemara continues, then tries to bring a raya from a brisa that we saw on Daf Yud Zayin and Abayz, as Toshma, we learned in the brisa, Rabbi Huda Ime, Sela Babi Dayim, Zeh Choy for Bari Mekan, Zeh Choy for Bari Mekan, Zeh Macha Gibbel Tvachim Visab Besid, Zeh Macha Gibbel Tvachim Visab Besid. As we explained, Rabbi Huda teaches us that if you have soil that's between Reuven and Shimon's field that is very soft, and as you pick it up, it falls apart and crumbles in your hand, and you don't have to break apart the soil by using a tool. So since the soil is so inferior, therefore, though Reuven can decide to build a bar, and Shimon could also decide to dig a pit, however, when they do so, then each one has to be machir gibel tvachim, and they also have to be sad besid. Gemara explains this raya, that time of the babi yadayim, that it's mashma, that the only reason Rabbi Yehuda says that Reuven and Shimon have to do both, and they have to be machir gibel tvachim, and they also have to be sad besid, is only because it's inferior ground, and therefore the hezek is that much greater. It's mashma haloi babi yadayim loi, that if it would be regular soil, and the soil would be good quality soil, then when Reuven and Shimon want to dig their pit, then they would have the choice, and either they could be machir gibel tvachim, or they can be sad besid, but there's no requirement to do both, and therefore from this brisa, we should be able to bring a raya, that when the ratio of the Mishnah stated v'sad besid, it actually means oy sad besid. The Gemara responds that it's not a raya from this brisa, as who adin the afagav v'loibay b'dayim nami sad besid, that in chenami, that Rabbi Huda would agree, that our Mishnah, even though it was not babi yadayim, and it was better quality soil, when Reuven or Shimon digs a bar, they would be required to be machir gibel tvachim, and they would also be required to be sad besid, and our Mishnah means v'sad besid. The reason why Rabbi Huda specifically talks about a case of selah babi yadayim is not to teach us a diuk that it would be loy babi yadayim, then you would have a choice. But of babi yadayim ischuchle, there was a chiddush in the case of babi yadayim, as salkadai tchamina, as one may have thought, kiven the babi yadayim, that since the soil is so inferior, lebay revachat fei, then maybe there would be a requirement to even be machik more than three tvachim, and the din would be more chamer than a mishnah kamash mulan. And therefore Rabbi Huda tells us that even in the case of babi yadayim, there's only a requirement to be machik gimel tvachim and be sad besid. The din is the same as in our mishnah. And in the chenami, we could explain that a mishnah means v'sad besid, that you have to do both. You have to be machik gimel tvachim and be sad besid. And the gemara is not pashut the shaila. And let us point out that Rudva explains in the shaila of the gemara the yesh mefarshim the vadi rabbanon debei medrasha bekiyah begirsa mastisin, that certain rabbanon knew that the girsa of the mishnah was v'sad besid b'chihah the tali ikadina leya v'sheichin hagirsa kol bnei yeshiva, as it would be impossible that words that are so integral to the actual din of the Mishnah that the Bnei Yeshiva would forget. Al the Kimlu the Kasidim v'sad besid, and certainly they all knew that the Giyas of the Mishnah was v'sad besid, as we have al Pirusha that he vav coming b'ilu, and the Shaila is just what does the vav of the Mishnah mean? L'fisha duzu yeshlam leima devade b'sefer nav gasinim v'sad, as we explain. The Gemara continues and quotes from our Mishnah as our Mishnah stated machikin segefes v'sazev v'samelach v'sasid v'sasloim min akisol shechaveri shleishet tfachim v'sad besid, and as we explained, all these items are Moisif Hevel, and the Hezek is based on Havla. As the Gemara Daf Yud Chesam and Aleph stated, Kamash Blon, the Hani Kashal Kaisal, that the Hevel of these items are detrimental to a Kaisal. And our Gemara begins that our Mishnah just mentioned that these five items are Moisif Hevel, and the Mazik based on the Hevel, and Tanan Hasam. However, we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, Bamet Taimnu Mein Taimnu, with what items can you insulate food before Shabbos, and which items did Rabbanan ask you to insulate food before Shabbos? And the Mishnah states, In Taimnu the Mishnah brings down four items which our Mishnah mentioned, which is Gefes, Zevel, Melech, and Sid. And the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos adds in sand. It doesn't make a difference if the sand is wet or moist or if it's dry. And the Mishnah doesn't mention Slayim, which we defined as coals or as flintstones. And the Gemara asks, Maishna Hachadik Tani Slayim, Veloik Tani Chol. And why is it that in our Mishnah we speak about Slayim and we don't speak about sand? Maishna Hachadik Tani Chol, Veloik Tani Slayim. And why is it that in the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos we mention sand and we don't mention slayim? Before we continue with the Gemara's teretz, let us see Rashi Dibur Maschil B'met Taimnun. Rashi states B'met Taimnun Secham B'Shabbos the Amr Rabbanon the Osla Hatman B'Dava Meisav Hevel V'Hasam Mefarish Taimo Gzeir Shem Yatman B'Rebetz, as the Rabbanon were concerned that if we're going to allow you to be matman using items that are Meisav Hevel, then someone may be matman and do atmana using glowing coals, and there is going to be a chash that maybe the person will stoke the coals, which is of course an issur deraisa. Our Gemara continues, Amr Rabbi Yisif answers that the reason why the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos doesn't mention Slayim, Lefisha in Dakon Shabbat Adam, Lahatman Mislayim, as it's not the Derech of people to insulate their food using Slayim, and Ayin Tezidil Maskel, Mishun the Mashtachay, Yosef feels that's in derech lahatmin b'slayim lefisha hevel yotzei mibein haslayim, as you're going to use multiple racks and there is space between the stones and the heat will escape between the cracks and between the stones and ve'enu miskayim, and it won't keep the heat and it won't insulate it as well. The Ma'aser basically was only mitaritz why the Mishnah Masechtas Shabbos doesn't mention slayim, but immediately Amalei Abaya, Abaya says Rabbi Yosef that if you're telling me that the only time that the Mishnah discusses an item is only those items where it's normal to insulate using those items, is it normal for people to insulate food using raw wool or using purple wool that was already dyed, and these items were very expensive and therefore it wouldn't make sense that people would use it to insulate their food? And even so, the Braisa actually discusses these items. The Tanya, as we learned to the Braisa, that on Shabbos you could do hatmana using gizit tzemer as well as tzipei tzemer, well as l'shein shel gamon, as well as felt. However, the Mishnah tells us that all these items are considered muksa on Shabbos, and if you were not using it in order to be matmin and you didn't set it aside before Shabbos for insulation, then you would not be able to move it on Shabbos, because ultimately the usage of these items is for weaving begadim, and that is of course going to be muksa because you can't weave begadim on Shabbos. And Rabbeinu Geshem explains gizit tzemer hu tzemer gadol min amehema k'mayshu, and this is referring to raw wool as it's sheared off a behemoth, and tzipei tzemer zeh tzemer sarik u'malubin l'tzarech tzvia, this wool that was already combed and was already whitened in order to be able to be dyed, which referring to large bundles of wool, and this is the way that's delivered from the countryside and it's brought to the marketplace to sell, that is referring to wool that wasn't yet woven, that was already dyed purple, and this was used in order to show people a color and had a shape of a tongue, and that's why it was called the Shayna Shal Gamon, and it was used in order to show people a color sample. And he states, and the standard tzvia was generally agamon. And finally, that after they would wash their clothing, they would comb the clothing, and the wool fibers that would pull out of the clothing when they were combing the begadim, that was called muchin. And Rashi Masech the Shabbos on Daf Mem Zayin Obey states, hold of a rach kari muchin, that any soft item is called muchin, kagoyin samagefen, for example, like cotton, utlishe samarach shel behema, vigrius begadim beluyim, ayin sham. Therefore, by Esra Besiv, that although it's true that it's ain dakash shel behema, adam lahatman beslayim, but the Mishnah should discuss that case, as we see that the Braisa does discuss even those items where it's not the derech lahatman, for example, like gizit semen, l'shen shel gomen. The Gemara continues, elam abaya, and therefore abaya explains the reason why our Mishnah doesn't mention sand, and the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos doesn't mention slayim, is because Yagad L'Avrei, as our Mishnah will be able to explain items that are not explained in Masechta Shabbos, and the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos mentions an item that doesn't mention over here, but in Chanami both apply to both Mishnayos. And of course the term Yagad L'Avrei, that his friend will tell him, that is actually a borrowed term from a Pasuk in Iyuv, and as Abaye continues, Tana Hacha Slayim V'hu Adin L'Chol, then our Mishnah Masechta Bav Basra, the Mishnah mentions slayim, and the same din would apply to sand, and Tana Hasam Chol, and the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos mentions sand, V'hu Adin Slayim, and the same din would apply to slayim, and would also be Asa to be Matman in slayim. The Gemara continues, Amalei Rava, so Rava asked Abaye, Iyagad L'Avrei, if you are telling me that our Mishnah and the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos are trying to add in the things that it doesn't mention in the other Mishnah, why don't we just mention all of them in one of the Mishnayos, either in Bar Basra or Masechta Shabbos, and then we should mention only one of these items in the Mishnah and the corresponding Masechta, and add the Bachas Geres, and then we'll be able to learn from one Masechta to the other Masechta, and instead of listing five different items in our Masechta and five items in Masechta Shabbos, we should have only listed five items in one Masechta and one item in the other Masechta, and we would have been able to learn one from the other. Gemara continues, Elam Rava, and therefore Rava explains that in the Chanami there is a difference between our Mishnah and that Mishnah, as Hasam Hayim Taim Delik Tani Slayim, as the reason why we didn't mention Slayim in Masechta Shabbos, Mishum the Mashtachil El Kadeira, as if you will insulate using a rock, then it will actually ruin the pot that you're insulating. Therefore, as Taisus points out, the Rava is saying that not only is it not normal to be Matman and Slayim, because there would be spaces, and therefore it wouldn't retain the heat well, but the real reason is because it would actually ruin the pots, and therefore people would actually not go and be matmim b'slayim. And as Taisa states, the in derech lahatmin klal behen lefishim shaben hakadera v'holu milsa l'shchiachi klal lechosh l'misnei. And since it's never normal to use these items, therefore the Mishnah did not mention avodim. However, even so, the Brisa could mention gizit semen l'shen Mishal Gaman, as although it wasn't normal to use it, even so it was normal lepa'amim, that taimnun behen, that sometimes the people would use these items in order to insulate their food. That's why the Brisa Masechta Shabbos could bring down the cases of Gizei Tzemel L'shen Mishal Gaman. Rava continues, Hachayinu Tamer D'lik Tani Chol, and the reason why in our Mishnah Masechta Babasra we don't mention that a neighbor has to distance his sand from his neighbor's wall is Mishum D'mecham Mechayim Makriya Kara, that the properties of sand is different than the case of Gefes and Zevel, and the property of sand is that if you actually put something that's hot within sand, that'll insulate it and it'll actually be Moisef Hevel. However, if you put sand next to something that's cool, it'll actually keep it cool, and therefore when you're placing sand next to a Kaisel, it will actually not be detrimental to the Kaisel, but it will actually help the Kaisel and keep it cooler. And as Rabbeinu Gershom states at the bottom of your Testament Aleph, Klaima Menichel Eisim B'Makom Shemeschame Machbis Tavacher, either Machbis Chama because of the sun, or Machbis Or Akira, or because of the fire of a stove, Mischame Moisef Havla Lahoche In Taimim Shemeschame Machbis Kain. However, Kishu Munach B'Makom Kar, but if it's placed in a cold place, for example, Beguma in a hole or in a ditch, then Miskari Yosef, it even gets colder, V'loi Mazik Klal L'Kaisel, and it won't be Mazik the Kaisel at all, L'Hachit V'loi Tonele, and that's why our Mishnah doesn't mention sand. And we explain that when Rava stated B'negei Avonim, it's Mashtachi La L'Kadeira, that it breaks the Kadeira. We mentioned that Taisa said, and therefore Mils L'Shchiach Yiklal, and L'Chosh L'Misnei, and that's why the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos doesn't mention it. Taisa actually continues and brings a major Kula, and he states, V'Oidei Shlefarish, Dekim L'Shchiach Yiklal, then once there's an item where it's not normal to use that item for insulation at all, and for example, like a vonim, and as we explained, we're referring to a coal or to a flintstone, then shari l'hatman ben, then you can actually use it as insulation. To mus l'shchich le'gazber rabbanon, v'chein minik shalanu sh'anonegel hatman b'sloim sh'ish yetzmen sh'karin coals. However, Tosis points out that generally l'shana mashtachi refers to something that rusts and not to something that's breaking. Tosis brings mefarash rabbeinu tam be'inyan acha, the mashchi the hevel shalem mekalkal ha'michol, that because of the heat, it actually ruins the food, and that's why people would not use avonim to insulate food. And Ayin Taisus, who brings another pshat from the Ri in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel, and the Gemara continues that how could Rava have said that the reason why our Mishnah did not mention sand is because it would be mutter to place sand right next to the borderline and right next to the property line, since it actually is in a ditch and therefore it stays cool and is not actually Moisef Hevel. But the Gemara is about Tani Rabbi Isha Koel. Rabbi Isha actually taught in the Braisa that a person has to distance his sand away from the borderline, and l'chayre that's against the pshat of Rava. And the Gemara answers Hasmatuta that in the Chanami Rabbi Isha mentioned that there is a problem of placing sand next to the property line. However, when he brought the case of sand, he actually brought it together with the first case of the Mishnah, and the hezek of sand was based on the moisture that was in the sand, and therefore it was included in the Braisa of Rabbi Isha in the din of the Mishnah of Layachba Adam Bar v'leishiach v'leimar v'leamasumayim v'leinivrechas kaisin. And in the Chanami Rabbi Isha was only talking about wet sand, and in the Chanami the reason why you had to distance the sand is not based on Hevel. The Gemara continues and asks that if Rabbi Isha included wet sand in his Braisa, and there's a requirement to distance wet sand away from the property line that's between your and your neighbor's fields, then why didn't our Tana also mention sand and mention the duration of Mishnah? And the Mishnah will specifically be talking about wet sand, and the Mishnah should teach us that there's a requirement to move wet sand and to distance wet sand 3 tefachim away from the property line. The Gemara responds, that Lemaisa our Mishnah discusses the case of Amasamayim, and therefore we already know that if there's a problem of moisture, then there's a requirement to keep these items 3 tefachim away from the property line, and therefore there was no further need to speak about wet sand. And the Gemara continues and asks, that if you're telling me that since we said Amasamayim, therefore we don't have to speak about sand, then why is it that the Mishnah mentions Amasamayim, and even so we speak about Nevrechas HaKaivsin, if Lemaisa both of the Hezek is based on Matunta? And the Gemara answers, Hanutzuchi, that in Chanami we need both of these cases, the Itana Amasamayim, as if our Tana would only mention Amasamayim, Mishum de Kviya. So we would think that the reason why you have to move 3 tefachim away from the property line is because it's there permanently. By having a constant flow of water, that will ruin the other person's field. Aval Nevrechas HaKaivsin like Kviya, but since the laundry's pool is not necessarily permanent, and at times the laundry will change his location, so maybe we would not have a requirement to move this item away from a person's property line, and you would even be able to do it right next to the property line. The Itana Nevrechas HaKaivsin, and if the Mishnah will speak about the laundry's pool, Mishum de Kavul Kaimi, because ultimately, even though it may be temporary, but it stands in one place, and the water doesn't continuously flow, pool, and since the water is stagnant, therefore this water is much more dangerous for the neighboring property. And as Rashi says, the kavu kaimer v'lechluchim kasher yosim shel mayim chayim. Maybe that's why you have to distance it by 3 tefachim. However, one may think avol amasamayim loy, that since an irrigation canal is flowing water and therefore the water never stagnates, so one may have thought that you could actually place an amasamayim directly next to the property line and sricha, and that is why we need both of these cases. But by adding chol, that would not be adding any chiddush to the Mishnah, and that's why the Mishnah did not mention it, as we already know that in all cases where there's a problem with moisture, that you have to distance these items 3 tefachim away from the property line. As Ritva points out, b'negeya chol and b'negeya wet sand, aval hai les leitzuchusa, and there is no need for the Mishnah to talk about sand, as the islam atunta tuva, as there is a lot of moisture in wet sand, and that's why the Mishnah left it out. And therefore, the Tanah Rabbi Isha just comes to add that in order to explain that wet sand is also included. And the Gemara continues when quotes from the third group of cases in the Mishnah on Daf Yudayim and Alf, and the Mishnah stated, that one must distance his seeds as well as his plow and meiraglayim 3 tefachim from his property line and from his neighbor's wall. The Gemara begins and asks, why does the Mishnah mention distancing seeds if in any case, any time that you're going to go and plant seeds, you will definitely plow prior to that, and therefore, in any case, you have to distance by 3 tefachim? And the Gemara answers, but Mapayusad, that in the Chanami, when the Mishnah mentions Zorayim, it's referring to a case where someone actually plowed by hand and he actually dug around the area, and therefore, he didn't have to actually leave 3 tefachim based on Machresha. And the only reason why he had to leave 3 tefachim is because of his seeds. Gemara continues and asks the opposite question, Machresha, that why the Mishnah have to mention that you have to distance because of your plow, the Tepikle Mishum Zrayim, let us just say that the reason why you have to distance your Machresha is because the reason why you're going to plow is because you're eventually going to plant seeds there, and certainly you're going to have to move the seeds away by 3 tefachim, as the Mishnah already taught us, and why do we have to mention both Zrayim and Machresha? And the Gemara answers, Bechorishli Lones, that in the Chanami, we're talking about a case where Reuven was not being chayish for Zrayim. He already has fully grown trees in that area, and he's plowing around them in order to improve these trees. And the Gemara continues and once again asks that why did Tana have to mention that you have to be machir because of your seeds, but typically mishum maya, and we didn't have to actually mention this in the Mishnah, since we already mentioned that you have to be machir any type of item which will damage a wall based on matunta and based on moisture, and since the only way that these seeds will actually grow is if you water it, therefore you have to be machir this rayim away from the kaisal, because otherwise you're going to have moisture that will damage the kaisal. And the Gemara answers, Tana Beretz Yisrael Kai, that the Tana of the Mishnah was in Eretz Yisrael, the civil Matar Shemayim Tishta Mayim, and as the Pasuk states in Parshas Ekev, L'Matar Shemayim Tishta Mayim, and therefore there was no need to actually water these Zrayim, and therefore based on water and moisture alone, that would not be a reason why you have to distance these Zrayim, and the Mishnah had to teach us that one has to still distance their seeds away from the wall of their friend, as the seeds themselves cause hezek to someone's wall. Ayin Rashba, that when the Gemara asked that why do we have to mention Machresha, if L'Chera we already mentioned Zrayim, and as the Gemara stated, but typically Mishum Zrayim, and Zakhtar Rashba, who had didn't have much of a truth, say, La'akav alav Mishas Charisha, that really the Gemara could have stated that the reason why the Mishnah mentions Charisha is because in this way, Shimon could say to Reuven that you can't even plow in this field, and he doesn't have to wait until he actually plows, and then tell him that you can't plant seeds in the field. However, the Rashba points out, El Mishum, the Lab Beshuftin Eskina, and certainly we're not talking about fools, Bistam Charish, Enel Kadel Zraya, and therefore if someone goes and is plowing a field, it must be because they want to plant a field, and that's why the Gemara is typically the Ikka Kavanasa Vidaita Lizria, that certainly the Ikka Kavana and his Das is in order to plant seeds afterwards. And why would Reuven be plowing if he can't plant seeds afterwards? And therefore, Shimon could actually go to Bezdin and stop Reuven from plowing, as we see his Ikka Kavana is that eventually he will plant, and therefore clearly would be also to plow. And why would the Mishnah have to mention this separately? And Ayin Rashba also points out that we mentioned B'chayrish Lilonais, Hainu B'shinotu Lilonais B'rishus. It must be in the case that he actually planted his trees with Rishus, as otherwise Mistama Tzarchu L'Hachik Esu M'chomisham Min HaKaisal L'Das Rabbana K'derech Shum Machim Min Abba Shigamu Machlika Kaisal Kaisal L'Mapal Esai. And therefore the actual Hachaka would not be 3 tefachim, and you would actually have to be Machik 25 Amis. And the Gemara continues, L'Memra D'Zroel L'Tzadin K'mishtarshi, that l'chayra, based on the fact that the Mishnah stated that when planting seeds, you have to distance your seeds 3 tefachim away from your property line, and we just explained that the hezek is not based on matunta and not based on moisture, and the seeds itself will damage the wall. So it's muchach that when planting vegetables or when planting grains, that the roots of the grain actually grow to its sides, and therefore it will eventually be mazik the foundation of the neighboring kaisel, and that's why you have to distance it by 3 tefachim. And we continue on daf yutes on the base, but we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Klayim, if someone grafts one vine into the earth, one of the ways that you would be able to graft and create new vines is by taking a vine and turning it and pushing it into the ground and then coming up once again. And this was one of the methods of grafting, and the Mishnah states, if someone wants to plant seeds next to this geffen and next to this vine, then the only way he could do so is if there's at least 3 tefachim of earth on top of the vine, and this way the roots of the zera will never interfere with the roots of the geffen. Both of the roots will not get intertwined, and therefore there won't be a problem of klaya kerem. V'tani Allah, and we learned in the brisa of azireya setzadin ilach ve'ilach, but he let it plant seeds right next to the vine, and even though it's right next to the vine, there won't be a problem, and you don't have to be concerned that maybe the roots will actually get intertwined, as the roots of grain grow directly down and do not grow to its sides, and therefore as long as you're not planting the zrayim, the actual area of the vines, then you don't have to be concerned about a problem of klayim. And Rashi points out that we're talking about one vine, and Rashi states, Gevin Yechidi, She'im b'zrayim sha'etzel mishum irvav, de'in kerem v'pachas mechomish kefanim, as the only time an area has a din of a kerem, and therefore you can't plant any zera within 4 amos of that area, is only when you have an actual kerem, as defined as someone that has 2 vines next to 2 vines, and then one that comes out from the center and looks like a tail. Since there is only one vine, therefore the only problem of klaya kerem is only if the zera actually takes yinika from the actual geffen, and as Rashi says, el shlo yinika zera min hageffen. And l'maisa the Gemara is asking, that l'chayra, how could a Mishnah state that you have to machik yizraim away from your friend's wall, if l'maisa the roots of this grain will not affect the wall, as the roots will go directly downwards and won't go towards its side and won't ruin the foundation of the neighboring wall. And Amar Rav Chaga b'shem Rabbi Yisi, mepnei shemachlid in sakaka umalon afet tuchuach, that in the chinami, the roots may grow downwards, but ultimately when someone plants grain in their sada, it definitely loosens the ground that's underneath the zera, and that will also cause that the offer within 3 tefachim of the zera will also become weaker. And if you plant the zera within 3 tefachim of your friend's wall, then since the soil near the foundation of this wall will get softer, therefore it will ruin the foundation of the wall, and it will cause damage to your friend's wall. And the Gemara continues and quotes from the Mishnah, Vesmir Aglayim and Akaisel Gimel Tvachim, that you also have to distance Mir Aglayim from a wall by 3 tefachim. And Amra Babachana Mutl Adum Lahashnim Mayim Bitzat Kaisel Shechaveri, the Rav Babachana teaches us that it's permissible for a person to urinate next to his friend's wall, as the Pasuk states, Vichrati La'achav Mashtim Mekir Va'otzu Va'ozu B'Yisrael. The Pasuk tells us that Achav and his descendants will be cut off, and is referring to his male descendants, and it calls them Mashtim Mekir, those that urinate against the wall. And as Rabbeinu Gershom states, B'mil D'Yisur Lo'im Mishtay Yikra El B'mil D'Atera, that it wouldn't make sense that Tera would call him Mashtim Mekir if it's actually us to do so, and therefore we see from the Pasuk that it must be Mutter for someone to urinate next to his friend's wall. And the Gemara continues in Eis and Rav Babachana V'anan Tran, but we learned in the Mishnah that Meir Aglayim and Akaisel Shleisha Tvachim, that someone must distance Meir Aglayim 3 tefachim away from his friend's wall or from the property line. And the Gemara answers, Hasam Mishaychin Eina Chinami, that our Mishnah is specifically talking about a case where someone's taking a bunch of Meir Aglayim that is already in a kli and pouring it out in the area. And since that will be a large amount of Meir Aglayim and it'll also be a faster stream, then that is usur, and you can't empty out a kli that has Meir Aglayim right next to your friend's wall, and you have to distance it by 3 tefachim. However, Rabbi Balchana is talking about a person that is actually urinating, and at that moment the stream is not so strong, and therefore you could do that right next to a wall and it won't ruin the wall. The Gemara continues, and we will read the parenthesis based on the fact that the Bach changes one word, and that makes the question understandable. As Tashma, we learned in the Braisa, Yatel Adam Mayim Bitzat Kaisel Shechaveri Elam Kein Hechum Menu Gimel Tvachim. And the Havamina Gemara is, when it states Yatel Adam Mayim Bitzat Kaisel Shechaveri, we are discussing a person that's urinating next to his friend's wall, and we see even if a person is Mashtim Mayim, he still has to distance himself by 3 tvachim, and therefore from this Braisa, we should have a question on Rabbi Babachana. And the Gemara answers, Hasanami B'Shaifchin, and Ein Chanami, when this Braisa states Yatel Adam Mayim, is not referring to someone someone urinating is referring to someone that's emptying the avid shel meiraglayim, which is of course a lot of meiraglayim, and it's also being poured with a forceful stream. And the Gemara continues, Tashma, I'll bring a raya against Rabbi Bachana from another brisa, as the brisa states, Liyashin adam mayim b'tzak kosel shel chaveri, that a person can't be mashed in mayim, and certainly over here it's talking about urinating. And the brisa tells us that you can't do so next to your friend's wall, elam kein hechuk menu gimel tvachim, unless he distances itself by gimel tvachim, and mamad v'ramurim b'kosel avenim, and we're only referring to a kosel avenim as bricks were made out of mud that were dried in the sun, and by urinating next to them, that will actually cause the bricks to dissolve and it will ruin the wall. However, if urinating next to a kaisel made out of stone, then you still have to distance yourself, but only the amount that won't be mazik the wall. And the Brisa continues with kama, and how far is that amount? And the Brisa states tefach, that all you have to distance yourself is a tefach. And the Brisa continues with shel tsumma, if the wall is actually built on tsumma and a hard rock, then mutter, then it will be mutter to urinate right next to the wall. The Gemara states tiyufta Rabba Bachana tiyufta. Lemaisa Rabba Bachana seemed to be giving us a blanket heter. In all cases, you would be able to urinate next to any wall. And this Brisa tells us that it depends what type of wall it is, and it's only by a case of tzumah where you can actually urinate right next to the wall. And therefore, it's a tiyufta on Rabba Bachana. As the second tesis on Amud states, for tiyufta Rabba Bachana, v'le matzal shnuya dechikam Rabba Bachana betzumah chod de have a little fusha behadya. As first of all, Rabba Bachana should have stated in mefurish, v'oy de darsh mikra, and lemaisa Rabba Bachana dashin is from pasuk, and it wouldn't make sense that we would call a male person a mashna makir if it's only going to be in one specific scenario where he's actually urinating against a wall. And therefore, shmamino d'le maflig, it must be the Rabba Bachana was not mechal between different types of wall, and therefore this price is a tiyufta to Rabba Bachana. And the Gemara continues and asks, but Rabba Bachana krokama, that how can you say that we actually have a tiyufta against Rabba Bachana if he brought a raya from the pasuk that the pasuk calls a male person a mashna makir, and therefore it must be that it's mutter to actually urinate next to a wall. And the Gemara answers, Hasam Hachikama, in a chanami, the pasuk is not talking about a male person, as certainly a person is not allowed to urinate next to a wall, and that pasuk of Malachim is actually referring to a dog, and the pasuk is telling us that we will cut off Achav completely, and not only will his family be destroyed, but a filo media the dake lashtune bekir, lashaviktale, umay new kalba, that even those things which is derech for them to urinate against the wall, which is referring to a dog, they will also be destroyed, and therefore the entire memory of Achav will be completely cut off and completely destroyed. And the Gemara will now continue and discuss dinim of tumas oil. And with Pashas, there is no connection between this Gemara and our previous Gemara and our sugya. And in third Taisus on the Amid, Taisus states hach shmeitz meise hacha, that this Gemara is brought over here agav the parach lekamon azroim, because on daf chaf we will ask a question regarding ivy and things that are growing next to a wall. Kiva the kashal kaisel shaklu, that since it's bad and detrimental to a wall, therefore they will take it away, and that is similar to the din that we mentioned in our Mishnah, that you have to be machik zroyim in a kaisel, because zroyim are detrimental to a kaisel, therefore we speak about the sugya over here. And l'chayr, it is a very weak sushtel and a very weak connection. However, I once heard that since there is no Talmud Bavli on most of zroyim and most of Tyres, therefore any time that the Gemara finds any connection to any dinam of zroyim or any dinam of Tyres, therefore the Gemara will bring it down in order that we should have certain dinam of Tyres and of zroyim in Talmud Bavli. Before we begin, we know that if there is a mace that's underneath an oil and in someone's house, that anything that's in the oil will become tummy mace and will become an abatuma. However, certainly if there is a separate house that's attached to this home and there is no connection between the two homes and there is no space that connects these homes, then the tumma would not be bakas. Nothing that's in that separate home would become tummy. However, if there is a window that is between the two homes and that connects the two homes and that window is at least a tefach by a tefach, then the tumas mace that is in house number one will actually be bakas and will actually penetrate into house number two, and anything that's in house number two will also become tummy mace and will also become an avatuma. The Gemara will discuss two different types of item. One the Gemara will call a rakuk and one will call an ava, and rakuk is a thin wafer and ava refers to a thicker piece of cake. With this background, let us see our Gemara. Amar Tuvi Bakisna Amar Shmuel. Rav Tuvi Bakisna said the following din in the name of Shmuel, the rakuk einu mitam b'chaloin, that if someone has a window or an opening that is a tefach by a tefach and therefore it is not a chatzitza b'fnei atuma, and the tuma is going from one side to the other, and then someone places a wafer into the opening of the window, and taking into account the shear of the wafer, then the window would now be minimized and would be less than a tefach tefach by a tefach, then lemaisa, the rokach is not memayit, the actual ear space of the window, and we would still consider that this space is a tefach by a tefach. It won't be chaitzis b'fnei ha-tumah, and the tumah will go through from one side to the other side. And as Rashi points out, rokach is referring to sugonin charor daka v'raka, and it's referring to a cake that's very thin and very soft. As since this wafer is royal achila, then no one will leave the wafer there for a long period of time, and it won't be there permanently, and therefore it's not considered mechitza, and it's not memayit the shear of a tefach by a tefach, and therefore the tumah will still travel from one side to the other. And the Gemara continues and asks, "My iri rokach, why did Shmuel say his din specifically b'negei a wafer which is very thin and doesn't take up much space in this area that's a tefach by a tefach?" As lemaisa would have been even a greater chiddush to tell us that even if you have a thicker piece of cake and even it's taking up a larger area of the tefach by a tefach, then it still won't be chaitzis b'fnei atumah. And the Gemara answers loy miboy kama, that Shmuel was actually telling us the din of rokach as a greater chiddush than the din of ava, as Shmuel meant to say loy miboy ava, that certainly in the case where it is a thick piece of cake that's sitting in the thickness of the wall and in this window between the two areas, that certainly that would not be considered a chatzitza. The kivin de chazilei loy mevatalei, and certainly even though it's sitting in the wall and it's getting moist, but the entire thickness of the cake will not get moist, and therefore certainly someone will not be mevatalei, as certainly he will eventually eat it, and therefore it's not considered permanent, and we still consider that this window is a tefach by a tefach, and therefore it's not chaitzis b'fnei atumah. Avu rokach de mois eimam butulim mevatalei. Or one may have thought that if there's a thin wafer that's between the two areas, then maybe that becomes so disgusting and it absorbs all the moisture of the wall and no one would actually eat that piece of cake, and maybe the rokach would be able to minimize the shear of the tefach by a tefach, and maybe it would be chaitzis b'fnei atumah kamash malon, that someone would take this rokach and eat it, and therefore it's not considered chatzitza either. And the Gemara continues that why is it that Shmuel had to say that the reason why it's not considered chaitzis is because you're going to take it away from this window and it won't be permanently affixed to the area of the window, and therefore it's not memayit the space of the window. We still look at the window as if it's a tefach by a tefach, and therefore it's not a chatzitza. The Gemara is, but typically, davali davashu mekabel tumah, v'chol davashu mekabel tumah, ein chaitzis b'fnei atumah. Why don't we say that since this rokach is a food product, therefore all food is mekabel tumah, and anything that's mekabel tumah cannot be chaitzis b'fnei atumah? And the Gemara explains that certainly Shmuel understood that if this food product would be mekabel tumah, then certainly it cannot be chaitzis b'fnei atumah, and even if you wouldn't take it away from this airspace and from the window. However, Shmuel is being mechadishos that even if you have a rokach that was nilush b'mei peiros and the flour of this wafer never came into contact with water or any of the Zion Mashkin, and it was kneaded with May Paris and with fruit juices, that even though this wafer is not Mekabel Tumah, as we know, the only way that a food product could be Mekabel Tumah is only if it's Huchshel Mekabel Tumah, by coming into contact with one of the Zion Mashkin of Yad Shechadam, of Yayin Dam, Shemen Cholov Tal, the Vasho Mayim, and since this wafer did not come into contact with any of these Zion Mashkin, and it only came into contact with fruit juices, so it's not Mekabel Tumah, so maybe we'll be Chaitzis B'fnei HaTumah, Kamash Blon, that since you're going to take this wafer away in order to eat it, therefore it's not considered Chitzitza, and therefore, even in the case where it was Nidlish B'mei Peiros, the Tumah will still go through from house A to house B. And the Gemara continues and asks another question on this member of Shmuel, as Meisvei we learned to the Braisa, Kupa Malaya Tevin, V'chavis Malaya Gregreis, Hamunachin B'chaloin, Royin Kol She'ilu Yenotlu, V'chilin Tevin V'gregreis Lam, V'pnei Atzman Chaitzin, V'mlav In Chaitzin. And if there's a box that's filled with straw, or there's a barrel that's filled with dried figs, and they're sitting in the chaloin, and they're taking up the airspace of the chaloin, and therefore it's minimizing the space of the chaloin, and if you take into account this box or this barrel, then the open airspace of the window would be less than a tefach by a tefach. The Braisa teaches us that if you would actually be able to take away the kupa or the chavis, and these items would be able to remain in this window, and they would be able to stay by themselves, and it doesn't need the support of the kupa or the chavis, then the tevin and the groygrace would be chaitzim b'fnei atumah, as the straw and the dried figs will likely stay in this area permanently, and therefore it's chaitzim b'fnei atumah. However, if you would take away the box or the chavis, then the tevin or the groygrace would actually fall to the floor. Certainly, since the kupa and the chavis must be in this window in order to hold the tevin and the groygrace, Therefore, you have kelim that are in the window, and kelim are certainly mekabel tumah, and therefore they can't be chaytiv b'pnei tumah, and they can't create any chatzitza. And even though the mace is in house A, the tumah would be b'kas and would go into house B. Rashi points out that certainly we're talking about a case where the straw and the dried figs were not hukshel mekabel tumah, and therefore if they would be able to stand on their own, so since they can't be mekabel tumah as they weren't hukshel mekabel tumah, so the straw and the dried figs can act as a chatzitza. The Gemara now continues and asks on Shmuel that if you just taught us that since it would be normal for someone to take the wafer out of the hole of this wall, therefore it can't minimize the shear of this window, and we still look at the window as if it's a tefach by a tefach. So the Gemara is for tevin chazil b'hentai. So how could the Mishnah Masechtas Alois tell us that as long as the tevin can stay there by itself, that it would be chaytzu b'pnei atoma, but the Maisa, the owner of the tevin, will come and take the tevin because he wants to feed this to his behemois and is considered Michael behema. The Gemara answers b'saya that the Mishnah Masechtas Alois is specifically talking about a case where the straw was rotted, and therefore it will be permanently in this hole and won't be removed in order to use as fodder for the behemar. And the Gemara asks that even though you may not use it for food for your behemar, but chazalatina, it is still possible to use the straw in order to make clay and in order to make bricks, and therefore someone won't leave the straw in this hole, and certainly they will remove it, and it's not considered permanently affixed into this hole. And the Gemara answers the Ispei Kletzi that we're talking about a case where there were thorns that were mixed into the straw. As Rashi states, v'him hay remsim meraglim betit, and the way that they used to mix the mud and they used to mix the cement was by stepping on it, and since they won't be able to step on the straw that's mixed together with thorns, therefore they will be mevatel it and they will permanently leave it in this hole and in this window. And the Gemara continues, chazil asaka, the lemaisa, how can you say that the owner will be mevatel the straw if he could still use the straw in order to make a fire? And the Gemara say, bimatunta, that we're talking about wet straw and therefore you can't use it for a fire. And the Gemara asks, chazil hasagadol, that's still ready to use it for a large fire that will dry out the straw and it will still be able to be used as fuel, and therefore the owner will not be mevatel it. And the Gemara answers, hasagadol leshchiach, that's not shchiach to make such a large fire, and therefore mistama, we consider it that this straw is batel, and therefore will be created a chatzitza, as the straw will be calculated in order to minimize the shear of this window that originally was a tafach by a tafach. And the Gemara just explained the Mishnah in Olais in regard to Tevin, but the Maisa, the Mishnah in Olais also spoke about Gregris and spoke about dried figs. And the Gemara once again asked, Gregris hachazilei, the Maisa, how can you say that Gregris will be considered chatzitza if the owner will take the dried figs in order to eat the dried figs? And Amar Shmuel, and Shmuel himself states, Bishah Trifo, we're talking about a case where the dried figs were already wormy, and therefore certainly the owner will not take these dried figs as he won't be able to eat it. V'chein tani rabbi bavua b'sheh trifu. The Gemara continues to discuss the Mishnah Masechtas Alois, as the Mishnah stated that the kupa or the chavis would not be chatzitza b'fnei atoma, as they're considered kelim and they are mekabel toma. And the Gemara originally feels that the chavis was made out of earthenware, and as we know, an earthenware keli is only mitame from the inside of the keli and not from the outside of the keli. Therefore, the Gemara is hay chavis hechidamya. What is the scenario in the Mishnah Masechtas Alois where the chavis would not be chatzitza b'fnei atoma, as e de puma labar, as if the opening of the barrel was towards the outside, it was not facing towards the inside of the area where the mace was. We continue on daf chafam and aleph, higufa techutz, that the mace of the barrel itself should be chatzitza. As we just explained, our klicheres ain't mitame megaboi, as we know an earthenware keli cannot be mitame from the outside and only from inside, and since the inside of this keli was facing towards the area where the mess wasn't, so certainly the chavis did not become tame, and certainly the chavis should be chaitz b'fnei atoma. The Gemara gives two different terutzim. Number one, Ella de Puma Lagav, we're talking about a case where the opening of the earthenware keli was facing inside of house A, and since the corpse was inside house A, therefore the chavis became tame, and the chavis won't be chaitz b'fnei atoma. And Iba Yisemon, if you want, I could tell you, Lo'ilun de Puma Labar, that really we're talking about a chavis where the opening of the chavis was towards house B, and therefore it really should be a chatzitza. However, Hachav Mayaskinam, b'chavis shel matechas, that in the Chanami, the Mishnah Masechtas Alois, is not discussing a case of a klicheres, as the barrel was not made out of earthenware, and the barrel was actually made out of metal, and as we know, metal is mekabel tumah, even from the outside of the kli, and therefore the barrel itself was not mekabel tumah. The Rishonim explained that the Gemara could have answered that we're talking about a chavis made out of wood, which would have a similar din to metal, and would also be mekabel tumah from its outside. However, our Gemara is not talking about a barrel that was filled with wine, and a standard barrel of wine was definitely made out of wood, but we're talking about a barrel that was used for dried figs, and and those barrels were made either out of earthenware or out of metal. The Yad Rama explains that the reason why our Gemara does not ask a question b'negeid kupa mleya tevin, as it was pashut to the Gemara that a standard kupa that was used for tevin was made out of wood, and therefore it would be mekabel tumah, and therefore certainly it would not be chayzus b'fnei tumah, and we will stop over here.